Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome to the final Wednesday before the National Hockey League trade deadline. Hockey Central trade deadline on Sportsnet coming your way on Monday up at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 a.m. Pacific. Day-long coverage as trades trickle in. Two more yesterday, one between the Anaheim Ducks and the Montreal Canadiens, another the Florida Panthers shipping Sean Bergenheim, who asked for a trade, over to the Minnesota Wild for a third rounder. It's Darren Millard here at Hockey Central at Noon, along with Nick Kyprios and Doug McLean. Some news out of New Jersey with Jaromir Jagr making some noise. We'll get to that ahead of Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey on Sportsnet tonight. The New Jersey Devils and Calgary Flames. But the significant news from Tuesday night's action, in which there was some shuffling in the Western Conference, occurred with the Chicago Blackhawks and Florida Panthers game, in which Alex Petrovic shoves Patrick Kane from behind, and it's an injury to Kane. It's an upper body injury, shoulder, collarbone. We don't know quite yet, but it looks to be significant enough to knock him out of the lineup for 3 weeks, four weeks, maybe even more, maybe even to the playoffs.
Be very fortunate if it was 4 weeks.
What did you think of the hit?
I don't think it's a hit that we haven't seen before time and time again. We see that hit 1,000 times along the boards, maybe 2,000. So he falls awkwardly, and it's unfortunate, but I didn't see anything vicious at all or with intent other than the 2-minute cross-checking penalty.
I guess the question is, you know, if you see that player in a vulnerable position, it's not like he was turning or anything like that. He was going to get the puck. And
Kane was in a vulnerable position.
Well, I think that you're in that danger zone, 3-4 feet away
right,
from the boards.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If he's deemed as in a vulnerable position when
he is not facing head first into the glass. He's not squared up to the boards or the glass. That is at an angle.
It was an awkward situation because he was in an awkward position. It was a push 3 feet from the boards.
I will give you awkward position, but I'm not going to give you dangerous. I will not give you dangerous.
Well, typically what we do is we see when we deem it dangerous, it's more often when we see the head go into the boards,
which we did not in that position.
You know what I mean? And that's where it gets
like
testy.
And you almost sacrifice shoulder to avoid the head.
That's right.
You didn't like it?
No, I don't like that hit. I don't like that hit more than the one right up against
the boards. I'm telling you right now, if you don't like that hit, you can't touch a guy within 3 feet of the boards. Yeah. 4 feet of the boards. Yeah. Then you need a buffer zone, Darren, where you can't touch a guy when he's along the wall.
I don't see it as a suspension. I don't like it, but I don't see it as a suspension. And again, if it was, you know, if you're typically you're closer and you drill the guy's
head. You want guys battling hard on the walls, do you not?
Absolutely. But he's skating full tilt and he's 3 feet from
the
boards.
He's not skating full tilt.
Patrick Kane was on his horse
he's
there
to get
that
puck.
Yeah, he was going hard.
Everybody goes hard. When do you not go hard? When do you not go hard for a puck?
Oh, there's times guys glide in, protect the puck. But he was leaning forward. Opinions vary.
Yes.
Mine is, I don't like that more than the one where a guy hits you right with the numbers.
You know where my opinion is.
Bob Strom's coming up, former Las Vegas Thunder coach and general manager. We're going to talk to Bob about the Vegas possibility with the National Hockey League season ticket drive appears to have stalled just around the 7,000 mark after breaking from the gate. So what are the
possibilities? That happens sometimes. The table turns. Get the cards anymore.
Nobody knows Las Vegas hockey and that market like Bob Strom.
Yeah, I mean, he was a GM there for probably 10 years with the IHL team. Now, the interesting thing is, I talking to Bob a couple of weeks ago, he told me he felt they could sell 7,000 season tickets in the marketplace to fans, not casinos.
But that's what this is.
Right.
7,000.
That's what he's saying, you know, that he said it to me, you know,
that was the easy part.
Yeah. Then you got to move to the casinos and the corporate and see if you can get it from there to the 12,000. Now, as I mentioned, to get a franchise, you used to have 12,000 season tickets. I don't know where this 10 numbers come from, but it was always you needed 12,000 season tickets.
So that's the danger, is that if you need to go 5 or 6,000 to your casino world, what good are those tickets to them if they cannot pass them on to clients? And
well, I would
do,
be the idea.
Do you want to... They send them to shows, right? They send them to see Cher or
in their own
magician.
But in their own building.
They keep them in their building.
Right. Big difference of sending them off-site. Big difference.
But this is going to be connected to a casino.
One.
This building, yeah.
One, not, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's how many casinos
there? Outside 100? Of that casino, is there other casinos
interested? Is Caesars going to buy tick season tickets to send them to MGM? I'm not sure. I don't know. Strummer will have a good feel for that.
Curious to talk to him, just get an idea, just from somebody on the ground there.
He told me originally when they started the Las Vegas Thunder, they started around 8,000 fans a game, and over a period of time, they ended up down around 5,000. But it was a good minor pro hockey town at that time.
In the International Hockey League.
City's changed. It's much bigger.
Gretzky played there.
Well, we know the league's got amazing interest in
McSorley it. McSorley coached there.
So did Nedved. Marty. Nedved played there as well.
Last night's action, there was some great shuffling going on and some individual performances and guys stepping up, and Eddie Lack is number one front of that list. Ryan Miller is out.
Are we doing stars already?
No, we're not doing stars.
Okay.
I haven't asked you for a star. There's no music. There was some initial trepidation when Ryan Miller went out. But you forget, Eddie Lack finished off last year, and they played him. And he said he's in a much better spot this time around to absorb this. And he's shown that the last couple of outings as they go into Boston and beat the Bruins.
And you think there's every reason why the Canucks should just lay down the injuries on defense. Look at their heroes last night. Lack, Cassian, and Stanton. And you're sitting there going, how are they doing it right now?
How are they doing?
Lack was terrific.
You know,
they're doing it with their role players that we just mentioned.
Well, they're doing it with, like, you think about Lack. His record was 6-7-2 going into last night's game. Willie Desjardins used him in some big games lately. He's beat Chicago. He's beat many.
Beat Winnipeg.
Every time he's gone in, he's been pretty good. Cassian, doghouse. As he made a comment a month or so ago, it's hard to score goals riding the bike. Give him a shot with the Sedins. Looks like he's been smart enough to try. A lot of guys have made a career off playing with the Sedins. Burrows in particular, and Anson Carter, and on and on and on. Trent Klatt. If he's smart enough to read off the Sedins and do his job defensively and have a little physical bite.
I'm not counting on him yet. But you know, Mac, you're saying all of a sudden now he's a scorer, right?
No, I'm not saying that.
No, but...
But
what you're saying is if he can be a little physical, and it's like, no, we need you a lot.
Right.
The whole key for this guy is that, you know, I'm not saying that he can't score 25 or 30 goals. He's got a terrific shot, and one day he can turn into that guy. But it's the games that you're not scoring is why you end up in the press box as a healthy scratch. It's because you're not doing those things where you're saying if he can do and add to it.
But
it's the spaces in between. And I don't know. I mean, it's great. Everybody wants to be a scorer here, but is that how he views his value to the Vancouver Canucks? He's got to go and produce and put points up, Mac, because...
Well, what they want him to become is when he doesn't have the puck, that he's not a liability defensively. And there's been... When he's been playing on other lines, he's been a liability defensively. They want him to play well defensively, and they will take the production slowly and as it comes. I don't think they're worried about him scoring
there.
Don't
disappear when you're not scoring.
Right.
You got to find a way to stay involved, stay noticed, bring different elements. And I don't know. I mean, what does this do for him, his mentality now?
Well, he's got confidence.
No, I know that. But it can also – I've seen it before, Mac, where it just takes a guy – to a point where he now thinks that he is a number one guy and a point producer. And if he does, he's going to find himself a healthy scratch again, because we know it'll cool off And then there'll be times in the game when you still have to produce or in different ways than putting points up on the board. And that's been his problem in the past. He sees himself as a different player than management has or even his teammates have. That's the trap.
He loses the physicality.
Gone.
Yeah.
I'm just a point producer. I'm just a goal scorer.
And the biggest thing that's been missing from his career thus far is consistency to play the way they want him to play, which is part physical, it's part putting up some points, it's sticking up for teammates.
He's not the first big guy.
No,
people have typecast it as you got to be in there getting your nose dirty, and they just don't have that.
And sometimes they never become that. Like somebody said, well, he could be like Lucic. I said, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Lucic scares people. Right now, this guy doesn't scare people his game yet. And that's not a criticism of him.
Why don't guys want to play that role if they know that that's the way they can succeed in the National Hockey
League? Because it's a tough role to play.
It's tough. And that's not something that you just switch on and off.
It's ingrained.
It's part of your makeup. You've had this competitive spirit. Like Lucic has been there since probably the first time he put on skates. You know, and it's you ask guys, coaches have begged guys, they've had meetings, the psychologist has been involved, agents have been involved. If a guy doesn't have that burning desire inside of him to do it, if there's just a little bit of I'm nervous or I'm scared, I might get hurt, then you lose that edge. Lucic doesn't have that. He doesn't have that feeling of being a little insecure.
He thought Hansen took a dive and he didn't headbutt him, but he came awful close to giving him a headshot. But the thing was, when Mike Gillis was on the show a couple of years ago, he said, we think we've acquired a top six forward who can bring a physical element to our team. That's what they've projected. Hey, I hope the kid gets it. I know one thing. It's that important to Vancouver if he can fit in their top six and bring some offense, good defensive play, and a physical bite. But that's a lot to ask.
I would say of all, every teammate I've played with, I'd probably say I played with guys – less than 10% were completely fearless. Completely. Like, not even one thought that they were going to get hurt or beat up or intimidated. Like, there was always that element, that humanity element.
Where were you?
You know what? I was one of those guys where it took me a while, but I could lose it sometimes, and then... Then I.
What do you mean? It took you a while.
Like some guys, it.
Well, you thought you were a real player for a while.
It takes. Can you just be quiet, please?
No,
sometimes it takes. You did. Sometimes it takes guys a split second to go from 0 to 10. It took me a while, but then once I got there, then it was like.
Can you be quiet for a minute? Because when you scored 20 goals, you started to think you're a real player. You got to be careful how it affects your head, right?
Well, he came out of junior as
a scorer.
A scorer.
But no, do you agree that you sometimes can get carried away?
Everybody's got their own switch, right? And some guys can hit it really fast, and others it takes a while.
Nick, when you came out of junior as a 60-goal scorer,
I thought it was going to be a score. I thought it was going to be a score.
Did they see you as a third line?
No,
position
no.
guy.
No, a lot of people thought
scrapper.
That. I finished my second year in the American Hockey League. I had 25 goals, right? I mean, not bad for a guy that hasn't even had 100 games at pro.
Okay,
right?
So
I came off of 62. I came off of 60, 50, and then I went back to junior as an overage because the first 10 games didn't go so well. And then I came back and I scored, I think, 24 goals, and we won the Calder Cup. So I was back on my way to being a pretty good.
Okay, where did it change though, and why did it change?
It changed because
you were a good fighter.
Because it changed because the goals weren't coming. They weren't coming,
but.
and then it was like, you know how many goal scorers come out of junior, and then get their cup of coffee, and then it's like, time's up. We're going somewhere else. And I made the conscious decision to say, hold on for a second. I'm not going anywhere
else. So you
did
that, not management.
No, I did that.
Okay. So what about when you got your 20 goals or 18 or whatever you got in Hartford?
17.
So what happened after that?
Well, that was...
Because did you think I'm going to get 25?
But I went from a weak team to a completely stacked team, right? And at the time, Keenan didn't need any more goal scorers. He thought they needed more grit and tough. And then I walked into a bit of a, you know, Keenan looking at me going, I don't need another goal from you. I need you to start playing tough.
So where do you think this guy's head is? And like, what does he think he really is?
We'll get back to that if we have time. All even strength goals, too. No power play time. So that kind of told you where your place was on the lineup. Here's Bob Strum chatting to us from Las Vegas, former general manager and coach of the Las Vegas Thunder. Haven't chatted in a while. How are you keeping?
Real good.
So the National Hockey League and Mr. Foley have this season ticket campaign to try and drum up and gauge support for an NHL franchise in Las Vegas. And they were hoping for 10,000. Started really well, and now it's stalled at around 7,000. Is this what you expected?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I think the first 72 hours they announced 5,000 season tickets. I think they have a group of business people throughout the city, I think, who'd already had those pretty well committed. And so in the last couple of weeks, they've sold another 2,000. I think they're right on schedule. I think they'll make their 10,000. But the secret to any success here for a major league franchise will be the corporate involvement of the casinos. I mean, let's be honest, we're not in the sports business anymore. We're in the entertainment business. And, the corporations, no matter what sport, what city, have to get involved. And that'll have to be the same in Vegas here if it's going to be a success.
So, Bob, if we're talking about corporate getting involved with as many as 5,000 or 6,000 season tickets, do you see the corporations sending clients, sending gamblers? I mean, or are we going to have 5,000 or 6,000 empty seats because they just bought them up and they can't get rid of them?
Well, you see those in Florida every night, so it wouldn't be the first team in the NHL to have that.
We don't need two, Bob. We don't need two in the league.
I think the fly in the ointment is that the casinos have always had a 24/7 policy where they want, Nick, they want you in their building 24/7 at the tables and in the restaurants, at the shows. And there's going to have to be a change in philosophy there for them to get involved with season tickets for their clients, for their employees, for their promotions, whatever. And that is the key for me. I mean, I've been here 20 years, and Vegas is a major league city. It's over 2 million people. There's probably more sports fans per capita in Vegas than any other city of the country because, people like those sports books. So I'm watching with interest to see what the game plan will be from the casino corporations because, for me, that's the key to Vegas either getting an NHL team or not, making their season ticket goal or not, filling the seats or not.
He lives in Las Vegas. He is a former general manager and coach of the IHL's Las Vegas Thunder. He's Bob Strum on Hockey Central at noon.
Strummer, there's other... So let's say they can get the fan support. That's not the only issue with going to Vegas. When you were the GM visiting players, your own players, is that an issue of what goes on in Vegas? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Did you have rules about players being on the Strip?
No, I just, hey, they're men, and I guess from a positive standpoint, there's no question I'll have the best home record in the league. the 1 year... One year, we had a couple of pretty good clubs here. The 1 year, I think we only lost three or four games out of 41 at home all year. both because we had good teams and maybe because the visiting teams. You know, Friday, Saturday night, you're not losing the Saturday game, that's for sure.
So visiting, you joke around about this.
You know, Vegas, like, let's be honest. Like, I mean, hey, I mean, I was talking to Glenn Sather about that one time, and Glenn asked me if it was a problem, and I said, you know what, players will do what they'll do, no matter what city they're in. My guys in Vegas are home and cooled by midnight. Your guys are still looking for it at 3 in the morning in Edmonton.
Okay. So you don't have any concerns that on the ice, off the ice, fan support, you're as confident as anybody that Vegas will be a great market for hockey?
I think it's ready for a major league team. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. The other key really is, you know, can they get the fans to embrace a team? You know, it's kind of a one and done city concert, Mayweather Pacquiao. It's a big event city. Can they get the fans to embrace a team over a season? You know, I mean, let's be honest. When the Ducks went to Anaheim, the people said, oh, the Ducks won last night, the Ducks lost last night, whatever. Now, we won last night. Our team is great. And so that's the big ticket in the marketing end from a fan standpoint is to get them to embrace the team. Vegas
we
has
know,
never done that.
Bob, we know Vegas is a strip, but can it be known as a community? Because ultimately that's what 30 NHL teams are. It's about community.
Exactly. And you know what, Nick, I think people really misperceive Vegas. I mean, you know, the Rat Pack is not here anymore. You know, it's a great city. Like I said, I mean, I never dreamt in my life growing up in Saskatoon I'd end up in Vegas. You know, it's a great city. It's a great community. Yeah, it has the Strip, but there's lots more to Vegas than the Strip. And so from that standpoint, it's no different than any other. Great weather, great golf courses, great restaurants. You know, I mean, it's no different than any other city in the country. So from that standpoint, I've been here 20 years. I think it's ready. The bottom line, the key is the casino involvement, and will they get behind this project?
As somebody that has boots on the ground there, I want to know what you consider the biggest concern outside of the casino thing, if you were the general manager, the man putting the money down, and what the biggest positive is about going to Las Vegas for the NHL.
It's the entertainment capital of the world. You know, it's a big-time city. And so I think it's ready. Like, I mean, I don't think you're going to see the NFL come here or Major League Baseball. There was talk at one time of the NBA coming in, but they had the All-Star game here, and that was a little bit of a shamble. So I think hockey's the sport, and I think 7,000 season tickets in the first couple of weeks is from a Vegas standpoint, where there's so many options for entertainment, I think that's a real good number, and I think they're going to make their goal.
And a concern?
It's
the one thing they should be worried about beyond casinos.
3 a.m.
Don't make the curfew too early because the players won't make it.
Strong. That's a joke, but
no,
I wonder how much of a realistic worry is that? That players run when they go.
Hey, Darren, and it's not a concern. We're all adults. You know, it's like I said. I mean. I think the players today, like, I mean, maybe I'm naive, you know, I'm not in the NHL per se anymore. I think the players, they're professionals.
Yeah,
there's a lot
totally.
Of money on the line. You get paid to play. And like I said, I mean, great restaurants, great spots.
the guys that run in Miami or in New York are going to be the guys that run there. And the bigger question I have is, and I get the off ice, but I think, as you said, yeah, today's players are, I mean, they've got to be in top shape to survive, and there's a lot of money at risk. But more importantly, there's so many markets that if you don't win, you don't draw fans. Like the Florida Panthers have got to win, like the Dolphins do or the Marlins do, to draw fans in South Florida. It's going to be tough to win at the start in Vegas. Will they support that, the losing, if they're an expansion team?
That's a good point, Dougie. If they put a an expansion team in here, and that's what it sounds like at the moment, you know, I think you've got to probably will have, like any other market, a 3 to 5 year window. In which to build a successful team. And you know, you went through it in Florida, you went through it in Columbus, and I think that there's, you know, I think there's two items probably. The young players today are, you know, that you're getting in the draft, if you're an expansion team, are young kids are really, really good these days. I mean, and no disrespect to the past, but I don't know whether it's the level of play in the NHL or whatever, but the young guys are contributing quicker, faster, they're bigger, stronger. The second thing is, you know, I think that the cap has brought about the availability of free agents, better free agents, quicker, more of them on the market. And, you know, Vegas, there's no state tax in Nevada. So from a player standpoint, yeah, salary-wise, you know, I'm taking home 67% of my salary, and the guy in California is taking home 53% of his.
One more.
I like that.
One more.
You know,
Bob.
So I think they can build a team here, but you've got a 3 to 5 year window, and you're going to have to win some games, no doubt.
Just one more.
Yep.
This whole gambling on hockey, is this? If we go to Vegas, is this one step closer to an untapped resource for the players and the owners embracing gambling rather than shying away from it?
Either or. I mean, you know, Nick, the take on hockey gambling in Vegas is minimal. You know, probably, I don't know the exact number, but it would certainly be in the 1% or 2% range, you know, in terms of what they take at the sports book. So I think of it, I mean, I think they'd take hockey right off the books if they had to on the nights that a Vegas team was playing or whatever, or the opposite approach that, you know, the commissioner of the NBA is talking, let's embrace gambling. So either way, again, I mean, I don't see the gambling as a major problem in hockey here in Vegas, one iota. Yeah.
All I know is when I went to interview Bob Strum to work for me, it was the best interview location I've ever held interviews.
Oh, you went to Vegas to interview?
I went to Vegas to interview Bob and actually hired him after spending 3 days in Vegas.
Yeah, and after that, I think I quit drinking, didn't I?
Yeah, and you haven't for 20 years since, so you've done well.
Good for you.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. We will keep in touch, okay?
I'm the reason he quit drinking.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, drummer.
And Nick understands full well.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, I said, and Nick understands full well why you drove me not to drink.
He's driven people to quit a few things.
Yes.
Thanks, Bob. We'll chat soon.
Bob.
See you, bud.
Thanks for having me on the show. Really enjoyed it.
Take care, bud.
There was one bartender in particular when I was with the Washington Capitals that would chat us up
to gamble.
Who's hurt? Who's not?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, and it all came together, like, you know, because you're just this young player and you just think nothing of it.
Sure.
But there would be this one drinking establishment, and if the visiting team came in, double shots, free drinks.
Now,
right?
But do you get a little
and
bit
then
of,
he'd go lay his bat.
But now, do you get this still?
How made about money? That?
Made money?
But don't you get it around Toronto with people playing this pro line that are asking? I mean, when you go in a car service, do the drivers sometimes ask you about teams?
Who's hurt? Who's got marriage issues? What's going on?
This is 6 a.m. when I'm going, and I'm not really ready for it. And then he sends who our picks are. And I went, no, just a minute. They're not our picks. I didn't pick any.
Let me continue. Jaromir Jagr went off today. Said a few things that will certainly catch Lou Lamoriello's attention.
His coach.
Previously, saying that he would not ask for a trade. Well, there's a mixed message being delivered here. That is coming up, plus the Hockey Central three stars on Hockey Central and Sportsnet 590, the Fan, simulcast on the radio and television networks of Sportsnet and the NHL Network in the United States.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, the Fan, on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet. Nationally on the Sportsnet Television Network, Calgary and New Jersey. The Flames with a win tonight can go from outside the playoff picture, bypass the wild card altogether, and into third spot in the Pacific Division. It's that tight right now in the Pacific and the Western Conference when you lump in the Winnipeg Jets. Incredible. Minnesota suffers a loss last night. They waste an opportunity. They are 1 point up on the Calgary Flames and San Jose Sharks. New Jersey provides the opposition for Calgary tonight. And Jaromir Jagr making some noise. Darren Millard back here at Hockey Central. Darren Millard with Nick Kypreos and Doug McLean. This is from Tom Gilletti's Twitter account. TG Fire and Ice, spoke to Jaromir Jagr. He said that Jagr admitted the coaching change is what's cost him his ice time. He knew it. There was history. He said from the first day the coaching change happened, his ice time would go down. Now, as far as his future goes, Jagr said today, you're probably going to play guys who have got a contract next year or young guys. It's understandable, don't you think? Jagr says, I love this team, but if it's going to be after the trade deadline and we're going to be out of contention, it's going to get worse. If I stay here and we're not going to have a chance at the playoffs, I don't think I'm going to play, and I still like to play. Now, sounds like, to me, he's interpreting that they'll go to and just play all their young guys.
Yeah, which they should.
And he's not going to play, and he still wants to play, so maybe he's hinting at maybe you should move me. He is on records also as saying before this that he wasn't going to ask for a trade.
So he's not.
So is he waiting for Lou to come? Is he just floating that out there to Lou?
Well, Lou's history with unrestricted free agents is just to leave them, let them walk for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the list, we're going to talk about it tonight. I mean, does he get a third-round pick for Jagr from some team? Fourth-round pick? I mean, is that worth getting? You might as well if you're not planning on having him back next
year. I'm hesitant to throw Sean Bergenheim and Jaromir Jagr into the same sentence, but
yeah.
Bergenheim draws a third-rounder.
Okay. Hold on for a second. Before you even go whatever he's worth, you got to ask yourself, what am I trading for here? Okay. He says, I love this team. Well, he loves that team because it's built around him, because he's the guy.
That's hard to believe, but okay? It is.
He is.
He's the guy up front.
He's what, 42?
No, he's older than that.
How old is he?
I think 43.
He's like somebody else I know.
Wow, I'm way 43. Off. No, I think he's knocking on 44 here.
Okay.
I think he's like somebody else I know. He lies about his age.
He's 40, whatever.
Yeah.
And
close to the mid-40s.
He is the team. Mm-hmm. It's built around him. And that's a problem in itself. So
what are you saying?
What I'm saying
role?
Is, what are you trading for? Because he has been used to 20 years of being the guy. And I know he had a few assists when he was in Boston, but there wasn't
but
a sense.
Win.
He wasn't very happy in Boston. I can tell you that.
With his ice time.
And it diminished as the playoffs went on.
Because he wasn't the guy there. So, What do you think you're trading for? Are you thinking you're going to get a depth guy, a guy that can just play the power play and then third line duty? You think he's going to come to your team and be happy with that when he's been used to being the guy?
Okay, but the question is, of all the teams that, like, you know, people say Montreal, not maybe with Smith-Pelly, they feel okay, but people say they need a guy. You're looking at numerous teams in the league that are looking for depth guys up front for power play help. I mean, how many teams is a team going to pay a third round pick for Jagr to come in?
Would you?
And just be a power play guy?
Would you?
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take him right now.
I would if he just knew that he'd come and embrace, I'll give you whatever you want or whatever you ask of me. But I don't think that's the type of guy he is right now.
Okay, so the Boston Bruins are fighting for their playoff lives. They got the 25th best power play in the NHL. Would you take, and everybody's talking about Chris Stewart, and they can't score. I mean, they cannot score right now, this team. They've won 1 of 8. You've had a history with them. Would you take Jágr onto the Boston Bruins for a third-round pick to see if he can help you get in the playoffs? Maybe they might consider
the question
with
is,
the way
though,
their power play is.
Chris Stewart on some nights could play 12 minutes, and I don't think he'll...
But the price is different, Kip.
I don't think he'll whine and complain.
No, but the
like
price
Jágr
is...
Will.
Right now, the price is a second-round pick and a prospect, is what I was told the other day, is what the price is for Stewart. Now, are you going to do that and let him walk, or are you going to take a chance?
What do you,
to me, you're getting a totally different guy there. You know?
See, for me, it's about how he comes in and embraces a team's particular situation, right? So Lou's trading him as his top guy, so he's going to probably want a second and a,
yeah, well, they,
right, whatever he asks for. But I don't know whether or not he's a good fit on many teams, on many contending teams.
Let me throw some teams to you. Calgary?
No.
Yuri Hudler's their top point producer.
Yeah.
Check, though. Winnipeg? Some injuries up front. Need to score goals.
Right.
Chicago. With Patrick Kane.
Cheap. What's his salary right now?
So Jágr's. there's
what's Jágr make? Kept
three teams.
Jágr's
and Boston.
He's got to be close to
three and a half.
Three
yeah.
And change.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's bonuses involved.
Mm-hmm.
So there's four teams if you want to throw Boston back into the mix that could certainly use some help. Up front, from a depth standpoint, or
I don't know
some
if he's a good fit in Winnipeg. They are a straight line team, and they're a puck pursuit team.
Okay,
and he's a puck possession guy. He wants to turn up. He wants to slow things down. He likes the one on one stuff coming out of the corner. I don't see Paul Maurice's style fitting Jágr in Winnipeg.
But how many guys out there that you can bring in for a power play guy?
$3.5 million cap hit.
How many guys out there that you can say, okay, I got a terrible power play right now. This is one guy that maybe I'll help it. It's a, you know, for most GMs, I'm telling you,
so you
for most GMs.
Calgary, did you rule Calgary out?
I wouldn't bring him there, no. I wouldn't bring him there.
Nick, for a team that they've got by this year with scoring. They've got some great individual performances.
I don't see them bringing him in.
I can see them contemplating it for sure. Yes.
But not at the end of the day.
Boston or Chicago?
Chicago is a team that could, with their leadership and their type of group they have, they got Brad Richards slowing things down now. You know, I mean, he's a great power play guy, but I don't know. Would you have Richards and Jágr? I don't know.
Would you?
There's a ton of pressure in Chicago
with Kane
right
out,
now.
With Kane out, they may be considering
they
it,
may
too.
Be considering
well,
it, that, too.
That's where
they
it comes be. From.
Yeah.
And they were already looking for depth.
And that's what Jágr's thinking. Wow. Jágr went to bed last night thinking, wow, if I could get to Chicago, how good would that be? Hossa, you know.
Time for the Hockey Central at noon. 3 stars.
Tough call. Not
Darren
the stars.
Millard, Nick Kiprios.
Jágr's a tough call.
And Doug McLean here. I went with Patrick Taves. Or Patrick.
Patrick Taves.
Yes. Jonathan Taves. I had Patrick Kane in my mind.
That's like Mike Keenan once calling out, mixing up Mike Hartman and Mike Gartner.
Really?
And he said, Gartman, you're up.
But did he do it on purpose?
No. Are you kidding me? So Gartman, you're up.
Who went?
So now I got Mike Hartman on one side of me, and I got Mike Gartner on the other side.
And,
Gartner looks at Mike Hartman and goes, why don't you go? You've got a 50-50 chance right now. So Hartman stands up. Keenan grabs him and goes, where the hell do you think you're going? Sit down. He said you called up Gartman.
It does sound like something Mike would do on purpose just to screw with you.
He did it on purpose.
He lost his marbles.
Jonathan Taves, on a night that Patrick Kane is injured, the Chicago Blackhawks win in a shootout. But I took Jonathan Taves because he becomes the first player in NHL history with 40 career shootout goals.
Wow.
But they don't count them.
They don't count them. He doesn't get credit for a goal, but he does have 40 career shootout
When
goals.
He goes in for his contract, he mentions it. Same as Brad Boyes does.
You're not allowed to, are you not?
Well, you could
mention it. It's valuable.
But you can't use it in
arbitration.
Arbitration.
But there's no arbitration anymore anyway.
No, it doesn't matter.
You know, there's no arbitration. They
just so in all this world of advanced stats, we don't count shootouts.
Which are as valuable. Ask the Detroit Red Wings about the value of a shootout.
That's what they're going to write all summer about, trying to get that included.
I went with Eddie Lack. 40 saves, going into Boston. Ryan Miller out. The save in the second period on Daniel Paille was the one that showed everybody that Vancouver doesn't really have much to worry about here because this guy's going to compete. I thought Eddie Lack was terrific.
And lets in a goal 65 seconds into the game and then battles back
crazy. That's my star. I didn't say that you can comment
on
my star.
Which he does unbelievably well. But you didn't clean it up properly. Did you watch the game or are you just going off clippings?
Max, your star, we're going to run out of time.
Well, this is a star last night, but it's for what he's done since Lundqvist has been out. Big concerns. Damien Cox said they need a goalie and to the point. We denied it. Talbot's good enough. Hamilton native.
Okay.
Talbot is the star.
I'm going to say also, Alain Vigneault has done an amazing job with the Rangers.
Why are you talking about his star?
Because he did
on mine.
Yeah,
why are you talking about my star?
Because you did on mine.
Stay out of my star.
Look at the injuries that they had, and you mentioned
Lundqvist. Why didn't you have Talbot then?
Out for 1 month, you know?
Yeah, he's been great.
Alain Vigneault's done a great job.
University of Alabama Huntsville star has done an unbelievable job.
And the LA Kings win again last night. That's 8 straight. You know what their cushion is on a playoff spot right now? 2 points. They're 8 straight. 2 points. It's that jam-packed. Winnipeg Jets also pull out a win last night at home against
Dallas. Are done.
You're writing them off?
I'm writing Dallas off right now, unfortunately.
They've had a tough
week. With losing Sagan, it's just too much to overcome for them. They looked like they were going to have a push there.
They're still able to score some goals.
And Jamie Benn is such a horse.
Too much pressure on him.
Yeah, it's just too much of a loss.
Not pressure, but just the weight of trying to carry this team for Jamie Benn.
So, Calgary have this 8-game road trip. Seven left. It's going to be tough, too. I hope they can get in.
Well, they've played well on the road.
Yeah,
this year, they're a team that's.
They didn't get many chances last.
No, they
night.
Didn't.
And but what's Brad?
They don't seem to need a lot of chances on.
No,
some nights.
That catches up to you too.
They need. I don't know. It's going to be awful tough with the way Mini have come on and the way Mini's playing, the way Winnipeg's playing, the way LA's playing. I mean San Jose and Calgary. Wow. Calgary is fine because they're in the middle of a big rebuild. So it's not the end of the world, but in San Jose, it could be the end of the world.
It's Brad Treliving's first trade deadline as a general manager. And he's looking at the 7-game road trip in the midst of the trade deadline with his team.
They are shopping
a
hard
couple points out.
To lose some money. So
to
that
lose
means,
some money?
To lose some money off their cap. That means Glenn Cross, Mason Raymond, and Stajan.
Yeah.
Okay. They gotta unload some cash.
And if they lose,
they'd like to.
And if they lose those three players,
what about bringing somebody in?
Money out and then money in is going to be their philosophy going into this trade deadline.
Money out and money in.
Yes.
So money out with guys they don't want, and money in with guys that can help them be better.
Exactly.
But not affect their rebuild.
Exactly.
Not affect their asset status.
Asset management. Our thanks to Bob Strum for stopping by today from Las Vegas.
Strummer.
No nicknames on this show. Keep it professional.
He is one of the great personalities in the world of hockey. I can tell you that much.
Yes, he is.
I liked his 3 a.m. comment. Max lived it, too.
We'll chat with you again, Sportsnet Central tonight, and then Hockey Central at 7 o'clock, teeing up Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. The New Jersey Devils at home to the Calgary Flames. We'll chat with you then on Hockey Central.